Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Father, thank you, Lord God, for letting us know, Lord, it's by your mercy and grace and not by our efforts and endeavors, Lord God. But Father, we thank you that we've got the opportunity to show efforts and endeavors, to show, Lord God, our respect, admiration, love for you. Father, let us be numbered with the ones that love you by keeping your commandments, Lord God. Father, knowing that the keeping of your commandments isn't what brought forth salvation, it was by your works and your labors, Lord God, but your salvation that brought your spirit and brought fruit of righteousness and holiness. Help us to abide therein, Lord God. Utilize our life, our substance, our vessels, Lord God, our finances, our skills, our talents, and our abilities, Lord God. We know that none of them are of any count or of any effect or would be of any use to the kingdom, Lord God, unless it's subjected and submitted totally 100% to you. Help us, Father. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There's a lot of people that have gone astray from this. There's people that have been indoctrinated this, that have gone into the world. They've gone into other religious realms. They're frolicking and fellowshipping out there with other minds and doctrines and things. The Lord's going to be pulling some things in, pulling some things and tied some things in, and the things that won't come in will be going out. So it's a time that we need to really draw in, press in, pull together, unify together, and be very cautious. And sometimes we think if we're in disagreement with something, it gives us a liberty to speak about it. God's not pleased with that, because I was counseling a man today involved in some things. I'm very disappointed with a pastor, and he done some very vindictive things because he was hurt and he was wronged. But when a pastor's wronged and he gets vindictive, or he starts retaliating in some kind of a fleshly retaliation, he's not right for that. You cannot do those things. And I've had to counsel people as of late that are dealing with churches and pastors. And a pastor could be in the wrong doctrine, brethren. And you got to be very careful, because the thing is there's something that he represents. And you say he may represent Satan. But let me tell you something. Brother Pete could stand here and testify to the fact when he came to a place called Little Bethlehem, a brother took his time and fellowshipped him, indoctrinated him, took time to talk to him about things of God, and he looked to him as a very bright light, and he helped him to make a transition into this place called Bethlehem. And later on, as he got his eyes open and got being more and more so indoctrinated, he ended up even breaking fellowship with this man. But nevertheless, God used that man, and God uses women pastors out there. He uses men that aren't even filled with the Holy Ghost. And they may be a pastoral, and they may be holding a church together. And they might be leading people into the kingdom, but it's a transition. I had men help me grow in the grace and knowledge of God that I knew weren't right with God. But they loved me. They loved people. They were pastoring churches. They were bringing people to more understanding. And as I come to a place, God moved me on. And some of these places are just temporal places for people in their walk, and you smite them, and in the person that's being held there until they're to a point of maturity they could go on, and you smite the shepherd, then that person might lose their grounds. They could look at them and love them. They could love this individual and look to them with respect to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and somebody smites them, it could shipwreck the other person's faith or hurt them in such a way that they fall away. So we ought to understand, and I've been guilty of these things. I smited one of my pastor's sons. I got bitter because I felt like I had been lied to and violated, and I trusted. And then when I found out that I'd been lied to and robbed and cheated, I thought, well, this gives me the right to vindictively go and smite. And all of a sudden it was scattering a brotherhood, and my pastor had to step in and pull these guys back together. Very skillfully, very trained, much wisdom, pulled these men back together, and then one at a time started roping them in and pulling them away and bringing them in. But see, I felt because of the other one's errors and the other one's wrongs that I was justified in doing so. But there was a proper way and a skillful way to do it. These are the failures that I've made in life that I've grown from. And when I see these things taking place and I see young folks out there walking in some of the same things, we've had many ministers come through here and I sit and talk with them. We've had them come up here and they talk about standing up in these churches and rebuking pastors and doing those kind of things. And brethren, I've done some of those things over the years, but you're in some realms and some grounds that are very dangerous. Just remember, when somebody else is in error, doesn't justify you to err the scriptures. Brother Pike said even our U.S. military has learned some of the biblical standards. And it said that when you smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter, he said, you know, here's the way we think. Okay, Bin Laden's the problem. Saddam Hussein's the problem. Why don't we just send a CIA in there and cap him? And it lends the problem, increases the problem, because when they know where the headship's at, they know that the sheep are going to come together with that. They can monitor everything they're doing because they got headship. You cap this one, and then all of them scatter. Now you've got the same problem infiltrated all over the place. The military learns that. See, I would have been the one thinking like that. I used to think that way. Hey, this is the guy. He's the problem. He's just going to pull the same minds together with them, and then you'll know where they're all at. So there's a way and a proper way. Sometimes you got to show grace, mercy, long-suffering, kindness. Sometimes you got to work with people that you know aren't right. And sometimes God will even have you work with people that you know will never be right. And it shows mercy, it shows grace, and it shows the attributes of Christ. Now we're talking about the way Jesus dealt with people. Can anybody deny the fact that he didn't love Judas? That he didn't entreat Judas just like he did his other brethren? And he was no respecter to them. But then yet he come and let him know. He said, there's one that sups here with us, or one here with us. You know, and he let him know. He knew all the time. You think it was a new revelation to Jesus? No, it wasn't at all. He knew everything. And I've had the Lord take me to places, brethren, that I knew the outcome before I went. And it would make people question me. See, I watched my pastor give a $40,000, $50,000 motorhome away one time to a guy that was blasting him. And he said, I'm doing this to shut the mouth of the gainsayer. And then yet there's been times that we've taken off and traveled to the Dakotas to build a church for I knew before I went. But this is what the Lord said to do, to show the young man and reach out. And we had an opportunity when that man to God, even though he was a pastor, he needed to get born again. It's really something. I look back at the situation, and his little wife sat in the service and drawled like a sponge and was hungry for the things of God. And this little guy was just rejecting it, 100% rejecting it. But we done what the Lord said to do. What did we affect in that town? How about the guy that came over and we flew his airplane? Did you know what the effect of our brotherhood had on that man? And he was a worldly heathen man. But do you realize the effect that we had on him? Maybe it was for his soul. You don't know that. How far would you go and how many thousands of dollars would you spend to win one soul into the kingdom of God? Amen. I tell you what, if it was a difference of one person going into eternal damnation or making it into the kingdom, what would you give up? What would you deny? What would you lay down? You know, brethren, it's real. The things of God are real. I'm going to read a little scripture. We're not going to keep you too long here this evening. John 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you that yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He done the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I want to read that again. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to read verse 21 again. I want you to think about these things. This is some very powerful scriptures right here. I know we could read it to a surface value, but this right here is one of the deepest revelations that if a man could come to this, he can absolutely turn the world upside down. We don't realize how much authority and control we have of the heavens. We honestly don't, brethren. I'm talking about me. I'm including myself. I'm a man too. You know, sometimes you see me up here and you think, oh man, you just say, you know, I know what God has done for me and for you. And we have not come to the potentiality that is granted to us by the Holy Ghost, because we limit ourselves with thoughts of unbelief and doubt. You say you don't doubt? You could say unto this mountain, if you have the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed and doubt not, it will be moved into the lake. And then yet we could find that we could be perplexed on every side. So we're not walking to the potentiality. Oh, God's grace is with us. Praise God. God's merciful to us. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good to us. Amen. But we need to walk in a greater fulfillment of his word and his things. Verse 21 again. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to read it again. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and he will manifest myself to him. Now, who's he manifesting? I want you to really think about this for a minute. I'm not trying to make something that isn't here, but brethren, we got to back up just a little bit farther. And let me go back. Verse 19, he says, yet in a little while, the world seeth me no more. This is the Son of Man speaking here. You say, no, that's the Son of God. And I say, yea and amen, through the Son of Man. They see the Son of Man. Peter had a revelation and saw the Son of God. But everybody else saw the Son of Man. You understand that? Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now how are we going to see him, brethren? The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. The Christ in you, the hope of glory. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So what if I was going to be saying that you didn't love him? Then would you be loved by his Father? No. Is that correct? I know that we read things and we need to understand the fullness of it. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loved me, Brother Pike said this in a message. He said, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus. He took the Spirit both of the Father and Jesus. He said those two come into that one, and that's the Holy Ghost. Now the thing is that right here we see the complete works. We see that we are going to be in you. And how is that? It's in the Holy Ghost. So if we have both of them in us, this previous up here, he said, greater things will you do. And why will you do greater things? Is it because you're better? Is it because you're more anointed, have more revelation? More? No, it's because they're both in you. He said, because I go back to the Father, because I've made the sacrifice, because I made the open the door for you, because this is what he's done for us. It isn't because you're good. It's because he's good. And he made this and opened this door and gave it to us. Now we see a lot of ifs, we might say in here, if a man love me. We can go back through and start counting the ifs right here in this last little bit of passages. And there's some things that are iffy. It's not iffy what he's doing, it's iffy what you're doing. Because it's not iffy what he's already done. It's finished, it's completed, it's done. He said it's finished. Well, if he would heal me, well, he's already done that. If you would receive that, he'd already done it. Now the thing is let's back up 2,000 years for a moment. Okay, let's talk about the Lord Jesus walking among man. Okay, so here he comes around the religious folks. They didn't like him. They didn't want anything to do with him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to take up stones every time they seen him. And even the ones that received his spirit, they wanted to do the same thing with them. Paul stood there and held the cloak of them that stoned Stephen to death. Stephen had the same spirit. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible records that he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. And he stood before the same people that killed the Lord Jesus. And he declared this anointing and power. Peter done the same thing. He stood before him. He said, this Jesus in whom you all crucified, I stand here before you this day. That's what Peter said. Because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. See, he wasn't fear of death. He knew that death had been abolished and conquered. And he declared the same thing that Jesus declared. This is what we do. We're going to back up to Jesus' time. He walks among men. He's speaking. They rejected him. He was one of their own. He was the right color. Had the right kind of hair. You understand that? It wasn't a racial thing. He was a Jew. Born in the right land, everything was all set up there that they could have accepted him, but they didn't. They rejected him. Now they could have accepted him, but they didn't. Could anything good come out of Nazareth, they say? I know who this guy's father is. It's Joseph. He's a carpenter. You see, and this is the way they judged and looked at him, but they robbed themselves. They robbed themselves. Why? Were they not doing good exploits? They were doing things. They were in the synagogues daily. They fasted. They prayed. They done exploits. They done many things. Even when Paul and some of the apostles and different ones, there were some that come together and they vowed to fast and not eat until they caught this man and killed him and put him to death. I mean, these were devout people. We're not talking about just some haphazard, lukewarm Baptist boys. We're talking about people that were religious and sold out. I mean, the ones that smote Jesus across the mouth. I mean, these were powerful men. They could move governments. I mean, even the Roman Empire and the Roman government that come in there, they subjected themselves in many ways saying, hey, if we don't appease these people right here, and if we don't do certain things, they're going to rise up and we're going to have a riot on our hands. And when some of these apostles came into town and they started speaking before these communities, they said, hey, we're going to have us a problem. We're going to have to settle this thing down. So these weren't just some little group or something. These were influential, powerful people that would have been running the nation, except there was an opposing government that come in, this Roman Empire come over and took over. There was many battles fought in that nation. So we're talking about men that would have been running that nation, that the whole nation would have submitted to. And they were doing these things. But they rejected. They rejected the Son of God. Now with those thoughts in mind of rejecting the Son of God, I think about what the Lord spoke to me. He said, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. You see, we could be so religious, you and I, each and every one of us. It might be me today and I might get that devil off me and it might be you tomorrow. But we could be so religious that we're just as guilty as this leader of the Sanhedrin that smote Jesus right across the mouth. And he felt justified in doing so because he felt like the man's words were blasphemous when he spoke some of the things that he spoke. I have people that because of some of the doctrine that Jesus taught that I teach, that they would have no problem with crucifying me. Zero. And they would feel justified because some of the things that we teach. But I challenge people. I say, can you show me anywhere where I've violated the scriptures and the word of God? When they threw me off the radio station down here in Lexington, I talked to the manager. I said, sir, please, can you show me where I violated the word of God or the scriptures in any place at all? And I'll make it right. He said, no, sir, not at all. He said, we just don't want that strong preaching. All we want on here is a conservative. And we just want people to teach in more of a conservative way. You know, sorry. Well, after my first meeting, he told me that I went on there and decided to do an open rebuttal to a letter about sodomy. And that was my last service. I don't have no remorse. She said, well, maybe you should have used more wisdom. Maybe you could have used more wisdom and stayed on there. It was time to go. Only time they would postpone or cancel out our time is when they had a ball team playing. And there's many religious broadcastings that's going to have ball teams on there, I know. But we don't have time for that stuff. But brethren, I'm going to read a couple of verses here of this again. But here's what I want to think about again. I'm going to go back up to verse 17. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Now, if they know him, they'll know me. Did I just read that? Now listen to it. Now listen, brethren, you need to listen to this. Can I say that? Can I say, Brother Ed, if you've got the Holy Ghost and you think you know him, then you know me. Isn't that what the Lord spoke to me coming across? You don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. And if you don't know who I am, you'll never know who you are. Now see, people think, well, you're taking that out of context. So am I? I challenge you. Am I taking this out of context? Now I'm going to take you to another place right here in the same passage of scriptures. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Am I a you? Are you a you? Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. So I live because he lives. And after that day you shall know that I am in my Father and ye in me. So where am I? I'm in him. And I in you. Now, which way are you going to look? You're going to look from the inside out or the outside in there? I'm asking you. I'm in him and he's in me. Brother Pike used to say you could take a glass of water and put iodine in it. And he said, stir it up. And he said, somebody separate that. He said, you ain't going to do it. Can there be anything separate us from the love of God? Is there any principality, any power, anything? Nothing. Verse 20 again, it says, in that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So see, again, we look at this, brethren. We are the body of Christ. Now, this is a teaching that surpasses many denominations, that we are the body of Christ. But we've turned this thing into just a little ritualistic saying. We are the body of Christ. We are the Word of God made flesh. Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. one in the flesh. See, we go to the spirit side of things and we speak about the spirit. And we talk about, oh man, I've been translated to marvelous kingdom. I've been born again. I'm hid away. I'm sealed in. Nothing could touch me. I can't sin. I say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we got to start bringing something into this flesh. It's the transfiguration of flesh. The glorification is flesh, brethren. The spirit doesn't need to be glorified. It is the glory of the Lord and the glory of God. It's the flesh that's got to be glorified. And the thing is if we could understand that and we could bring the glory to this, not to the glory to the Spirit of God, but it's got to come to the flesh. And you say, but the flesh is dead, Brother Rob. The flesh is buried. The flesh is hid away. I'm talking about transfigured flesh. Brother Pike used to speak about the blood changing in this body. The doctors ain't going to see that. They could look under their scopes, but Brother Pike said, I've got royal blood flowing in my veins. It's not for them to see, brethren. He said, I've got some ears that are vibrating that the physician could look down in his ears. The doctors could look in a man's eye with a light and say, this guy's legally blind. He don't see at all. But then he could be saying, this man has got the best sight in the building. And you see, we've got to go beyond the vibration, go beyond the vibration to the eye. We got to go beyond that. And there's another something that is so important. And if I can't believe that Jesus saved my brother Ed, or my brother Andy, or my brother Peter, John, whatever. If I can't believe that Jesus saved them, set them apart, and claimed them, then how in the world could I ever have any kind of faith to believe what he done for my sorry self? So if I can't believe he saved you, brother, I can't find salvation for myself. And if I can't love you, I can't be loved by him. If I can't forgive you, I can't be forgiven by him. These are all scriptures. And we forget the importance of that. And we feel justified, but we get a self-righteous devil, just like the guy that smote Jesus across the mouth. And we do the same thing and we're guilty of murder. We're guilty of trampling the blood of Jesus afresh. We do it. Brethren, we're guilty. We can sit here in a self-righteous way, but we're all guilty of these things. And we got to learn to love and help and encourage. If you see somebody failing and you could look at them in a bad way, but you need to look at yourself in a bad way because that's your brother. If I'm over here eating and I'm eating good and I see my friend hungry and I can say, well, that poor no good rascal, look at me. Don't he wish he could be like me? I'm the poor no good rascal unless I feed him. And if I've got a revelation that they don't have or an understanding, I owe that to them. I used to come to my pastor, Brother Pike, and I'd say, Brother Pike, help me out here. Do I understand this? Is this proper? Is this correct? I didn't mind asking questions. And I didn't mind being corrected. I was that way when I was in the aviation business. I didn't want to go sit around these guys, these pilots, or elders, and had more years than me, or mechanics. I had guys that worked for me. I didn't want to project to them that I knew more than them. I went and picked their brain. I said, hey, man, let me know about this. Help me with this. Help me with that. And I'd be talking and asking questions. I'd done that with my pastor. People are sometimes afraid to ask questions. Well, that means you're smarter than me. You know, if I'm asking you the question makes you smarter than me, no, it doesn't. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll find understanding. You have not because you ask not. And there's some people that have more pride than they have the will to ask a question. But I would ask him questions. He said, Brother Rob, you're accountable now to that. You're accountable to the whole world for that. Do you ask questions just to puff yourself up or that you could be sharp or smart or impress somebody? Or do you get this knowledge that you could share it and take it and help? You're required. What are you required for? We're required, brethren, for a lot of things. We most definitely are required. For a lot, let's stand together. I would like to take the time tonight to read this again. And you say, well, Brother Rob, we've done read it 5 times tonight. You know, but brethren, I'm telling you something. There's something in here that we need to read it and we need to read it. I can remember Brother George talking about the 483 and the 7 to the 490. And I heard that and I heard that. And I had a revelation of it and I had an understanding of it. But one day I was by myself and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and it opened up in another dimension and another realm. And I thought, you know what? I thought I understood exactly what he's saying. And I did. But I was understanding it in one perspective. And he opened up my eyes into another perspective. And I thought, wow. It was, the first one was awesome. The second one was even more awesome. Maybe I need another one. Is there such a word as more awesome? Awesomer. More. No. I'll come up with something. I love y'all. Appreciate you. And pray for my dad. He came over today and asked us to lay hands and pray for him. He's bouting some things, and some things been hanging on to him, and he gets a little disappointed, discouraged. His physical capabilities aren't as strong as they used to be, and perplexes him some. Pray for him. He loves you and loves the Lord, but hold him up in prayer. Remember the ones traveling again for this meeting and going to camp meeting. Remember the ministers that will be ministering in camp meeting, that God will bless them and help them and anoint them. And pray for our trip to the prisons on Sunday. Pray for Brother Makoka and his mother. Remember to continue to hold them up in prayer. They need prayer. Amen. We'll briefly open the altars up. Okay. The baby that we've been fasting for and the mother, they're running some PT, I guess they call it, test on Monday. They're going to be running tests for the cancer of the baby. So let's continue to fast and to pray about that situation. And when you fast and you're praying about this situation, pray for the Father. We're serving a mighty God. I was a hard-headed individual, had a calling on my life, and I wanted to go about my ways in finances and money, and I had to go into the hospital with a 2-month-old baby, and the doctor come out crying. The doctor was crying. The nurse was crying. And he said, man, I've got a 20% chance to live. You know what that does to a man that's got a little bit of sense? It makes him repent and say, God, have mercy on me. They don't go back out drinking with their buddies and laughing and partying. We need to pray. It grieves my spirit to see hard-headed people. We get out here frolicking the world. Well, this is okay. Let me have a little of this. Man, Satan will get his clutches in you, and he'll drag a hold of you, and you'll never shake him, and you'll never be able to let him go. He'll get a hold of you, and I mean, you'll think, why did I ever mess with that? A young man took his wife. He raised up right there at Bethlehem under a pastor, and he got married to a little gal that went to that church, and he said, well, I'm going to go out in the world for a while. Takes his wife with him. And they go out and start visiting bars and nightclubs and drinking and partying. He said, man, this ain't for me. And he comes back. His wife didn't want to come back. I like this. And then the guy thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and get me another one now. Brother Pike said, there ain't a chance of that, brother. You ain't going to do that. You better stand and you better believe and you better pray. They're reconciled. They're back serving the Lord. Amen. But you know what? This is what people think like. Everything's dispensable. Everything. People have no sense of value for anything anymore. Brethren, we need to get serious and we need to pray. Amen. Pray for this baby. Pray for this infant. Pray for this little child. Brethren, God is upset. He is sick and tired of this sinful, adulterous, wretched generation. And we sit back with this merciful, oh, we can't judge, and oh, we got to be kind and merciful. I know we got to love one another, brethren, and we got to love people in their failures and their weaknesses, and we're the physicians, and we got to reach out to the sick, and we got to love them. But when people are lightly esteeming and mocking God, there's a time to step out of the way. There's a time that we need to receive reproof and rebuke. You see, when exhortation comes in rebuke, it doesn't change it none when you could look at the other individual and find fault. When a sheriff pulls you over for speeding and he says, son, you're going 80 miles an hour in a 55. I'm going to write you a ticket. And when he does that, you can say, well, sir, I was following you home from Sunday school yesterday and you were doing 90 in a 55. It doesn't change the fact. He's doing his job. And he might get in trouble his own self. But you're the one that violated. It don't make you less of a violator because they're more of a violator. Why do we think that way? Why do we think because somebody is more of a wretched individual makes you a little better? It doesn't work that way. If it worked that way, it'd be another thing altogether, wouldn't it? Amen. We'll get Brother Pete to come up, and I love y'all and appreciate you, Brother Pete.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service tonight. Father, we thank you that we were privileged enough to be a part of this service, Heavenly Father, that your word abiding within us, Father, to lead us and guide us and help us.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.